This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
No man, down in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Yeah, try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I'm getting time, got a sign. Smokey in the air, it's a lot of time.
Episode 365 of Fourth and Gone. I'm J.L. Saunders here with Mr. Prime in the building, Mal Davis, Holly Thomas, and everyone on his way. But, you know, obviously, we're a week away from the season. We're going to have some news shortly. You know, we're always talking timeline topics, just some juicy ones. I think there's going to be some debate. You know, we're going to get into a little bit of the Madden ratings because they're kind of BS. We're going to get into the running back market because the running back market is kind of effed up right now. But there's a new running back that we're welcoming into the NFC East. We'll speak on that. But how you guys doing, by the way?
Feeling good, man. You know what I mean? Here it is, Tuesday, catching up with you fellas. Looks like we got some good topics to go ahead and talk about. I mean, I definitely want to go ahead and hit on that matter. You know what I mean? One of the games I love to play, you know what I mean? I get into. So, you know what I mean? I'm all down for that. But, you know, other than that, like I said, it's always good to catch up with you fellas. I hope everybody's doing good.
Good to see you fellas. Like my boy Mal Prime. And I talked to Gil off and on as I'll be doing my escapades and gallivanting and pillages across the land. I love the topics that he picked today because I didn't know what the hell we were going to talk about. But they've given us some. I do have a couple of questions for you guys too because I want to figure out if you guys be as pissed off as I am when they be with the disrespect to be coming not only but for the running back position, but for the guys on our team. The one thing that I want to get across this show is the fact that people often talk about who's better than who. I was like, but it's like it's only two teams that made it to the Super Bowl. I was like, anything else is uncivilized. You putting all these other people that apparently they didn't know that they were in the playoffs and they didn't know that they could make it to the Super Bowl as well. So you know, I want to ask a couple of questions. I want to ask you guys that I actually wrote them down. That's how pissed off I was. So.
Yeah, man. You know, what up, Herm? Yeah, always excited to be in here with y'all boys, just talking football, talking running backs, talking Madden, talk Hall of Fame, a little bit of Hall of Fame. Yeah, man, just excited to just talk football. We're getting closer to the real season, which is great. Cause this like lag in the summertime is horrendous, man. Yeah, always go Birds.
Now sports purgatory.
Now Ev, like this guy had a nice little vacation.
Yeah, Mexico.
Hopefully it was a great vacation.
You get a tan, Ev?
Mm-hmm. I got as tan negative as an Irishman could get.
Negative. He still looks the same.
I got red as hell by the pool. I was burned up crisp. No, vacation was great, though. Vacation was nice. Great. Yeah, I was down at the Excellence down in Cancun, and it was nice for 4 days to live like Hollis Thomas. I got a taste of the getting weighted on hand and foot. It was
wow, man. Talking about throwing your boy under the bus so fast. Man.
Now, how you boys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
I came all the way back to the States just to argue with Chargers fans today. What is with of all people of all fan bases?
Right. What are you talking about? You got an argument?
Beefing with some Charger fans.
There was some Charger fans out of left field, out of nowhere, that just started talking all high and mighty, like they didn't just have the third biggest comeback loss in the playoffs in NFL history. It's kind of crazy.
See, last week you were arguing with 49ers fans. This week
I'm taking them one team at a time, Gail.
I'm realizing that that's all this has just devolved into is just us arguing with other fan bases, Cowboys, Giants. Like, it's just a bunch of people saying dumb stuff on Twitter.
Never ended,
and then
bro.
You just, yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, though, the NFL season is like 20 weeks, right?
Right.
And so there's 32 teams in the NFL season. There's 52 weeks in a year. That means that I have to just completely terrorize one fan base a week in the offseason until the season starts.
Now, when you were talking to the Chargers fans, did you let them know that they just hired a guy who was the offense coordinator down in Dallas? And because I know they're gonna skew the numbers. I was like, and numbers are cool, mm-hmm. but when you're winning, I was like, a lot of times it's like sometimes, and I think people get a misnomer when I say run the ball. I say run the ball so that you could pass. I was like, but he came back with Dak and had Dak throw 51 times versus Tom Brady. You're supposed to be trying to play keep away from Tom Brady. I wonder how Justin Herbert's gonna do with Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator.
There's really no excuses either, man. I mean, he's got a good wide receiving core. They went and drafted, you know, a first-round wide receiver this year. They've had yep. Austin Eckler. They've had Derwin James. It's not like they've had a shitty defense.
Don't forget about Allen.
Yeah, absolutely. Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen.
I actually did forget about Keenan Allen. He's one of the better wide receivers in the league. They've got a good wide receiving core.
I got a question for you, Ev. Did you forget about Saquon Barkley and the Giants, because you see that news is he didn't come to terms with the Giants.
Long term contract. Yeah.
You know, another guy named Josh Jacobs didn't come to terms with. They're both going to hold out.
Let me explain something to you. They're not going to come until they have to come.
They're going to show up.
They're going to show up eventually, but it's like.
Oh, they got to flex though.
I caught that. The funniest part though is it's like they're not gonna show up until they can get fined $14,000 a day. Right. There's like $14,000 a day that starts to add up.
So it starts hitting the pockets. Absolutely,
to show up. There's no way that they're gonna pull a Le'Veon and sit a whole year. And you can't reset your market, right? That like if you don't play, it's not like you become a more coveted player next year. You lost all your leverage, bro. You gotta come play football.
The only person to do this, do what Mal just said, was Sean Gilbert. He's the only one that cashed in, but I think they regretted it the entire time. If you sit out, they can still put the franchise tag on you next season. When they was dealing with DeMar Smith doing the collective bargaining agreement, that was one of the things that they put up there. I didn't like that because it gives the team too much leverage on you.
Question I'm asking is, you know, Saquon and his with the endorsements and all that stuff, like you don't think he's set to be able to go ahead and sit out? Like, I mean, is he making enough money outside of football?
The other thing too is that they don't sign they have a certain time to sign the franchise tag. But if they don't sign it by a certain point, it goes over to next year.
Okay, it goes
over next year. And a lot of people think that they can still negotiate a contract. No, the negotiation is over. He's on there for the rest of the season. Now, the part that I didn't like about Barkley's situation was, and this was one of the questions, they just gave a quarterback $160 million who has the same statistics as our backup who stuck down in Atlanta. And if without Saquon Barkley, he's nothing. What do you guys think about them? I think they lowball Saquon. That's why he didn't sign nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what do you guys think about situations? Because we talk about running back and how they're devaluing him. It's certain running backs.
Well, if you want to add, let me go first.
Right, go ahead.
This situation is great because it's not our situation. It's their situation. I'm happy with it. You know what I mean? Because they tanked on this shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you said it. They gave all that money to him, what's his name?
Daniel Jones. Mr. Pick Six himself, Daniel Jones.
Exactly. I mean, he ain't even worth remembering, but look, Daniel Jones, like, that's what I'm talking about. You ended up cashing in all on this guy, and you forgot about the people that made the team for you, that put the team on the map. And that's sad, you know what I mean? Like, that's sad that the organization treated that man like that. Now, you know what I mean? Like, be truthful with you, like Saquon Barkley, I always felt like at times he was overrated. The man's got some quads that are just out of this world. Okay. Right. But eventually those things will tear down. And I think they honestly did tear down. I mean, when he breaks, don't get me wrong, but how often does he break? That's just the thing. Like, that's how I look at it. I know I hear you guys like, yeah, I would love to have him on the squad and all that stuff. Me, honestly, I'm going to keep it 100G with y'all. No, I'm cool, man. I really don't think this dude is like that guy. No. Now, the fact, again, that they didn't take care of him is foul. It really is foul because of what he did for that organization.
But I want to give you a second part of that, Prime, with what you're saying. It's like, given what you said, nobody is cutting for Daniel Jones. They line up, and the team goes, and Saquon, if you look at every game that they won, Saquon Barkley was either running or catching out of the backfield.
Right.
He was 65% of their offense.
Yeah.
You don't pay him?
Why they don't, bro, because, like, that usage rate is through the roof, and he already saw injuries through a good part of, like, his career already, you know? Yeah. And, like, you were talking about, can he sit out a year financially? I don't think so, because he played on a rookie deal, so he didn't really see the paper that he was supposed to see yet. So, like, this is Saquon's chance to get a bag, right? Like, this would be the time. Yeah. I definitely think it's wrong that the Giants did him that way. But this is how running backs get done. I think it's on young players to stop playing running back, right? They're like, yo, if you can play some other position, I suggest you go and explore it. Because, like, if you really want to make it to the league, like, the league is telling you what the game is today. I love running back. I think it's one of the most integral parts of your football team, especially in pass pickup. But they don't get paid. So,
I think the biggest issue ends up being is just the volume of good running backs that end up coming into the league each year. That's the unfortunate thing. You look at the wide receiver position, and each team needs a solid, like, three wide receivers in order to sustain an offense. You need realistically one really good running back, serviceable guy.
You know why you need two? Okay, because if you only have one, you have to pay him, because he's going to be that bell cow.
Right.
You can get two or three young guys, and they're so eager to play. And then also they can learn the offense pretty quickly. And it's just like all the money that you're going to give a bell cow, you get three guys.
What the Eagles did, right?
I also think we have to, like, completely, like, value running backs realistically too, because, like, coming out of college, I realistically thought that Saquon Barkley had a chance at being a generational type running back, but as he's been in the NFL, I don't think he's necessarily lived up to that. I look at guys like Derrick Henry, generational, LaDainian Tomlinson, generational, Barry Saquon's not one of those guys.
I will put Nick Chubb in that list, bro, because you're talking about running back, and I think like that's the difference. When you're talking about running backs, right, is that, like, these are actual running backs that you could turn around, hand the ball to 300 times, and, like, these dudes are going to tote the rock. That's not Saquon, and that's why I was kind of out on Bijan, because I'm like, yo, Bijan's not even as good as Saquon was when he left. So these dudes, like, that's not who they are. They're not built that way. Okay. And so I think that for a lot of the NFL talent evaluators, it's like, yo, why am I going to pay somebody I can't rely on for 300 carries?
I think you hit the nail on the head in the fact that, like, I think it's just an unfortunate thing that the running back position has evolved into. Mm-hmm. I think that these guys, like, there's such a high volume of them coming into the league every single year that you are, unfortunately, replaceable. No matter really your talent level, unless you're truly a top five guy in the league and you could stay healthy,
if you could catch, I think, too, is one piece, right? Like, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs go in the first round. And so, like, those are the dudes that, yo, Gil, you got to get, you putting your hand up. You better jump in here.
I'm just saying the running back market, as much as I love the running back position, I just think the way that how he's attacking it is how you have to actually, you know, just piece it together, man. You just talk about your running backs. I mean, we're paying for all our running backs $7.8 million.
Yeah.
Now, what would these guys want?
And this is what you get when you're doing that. You have to get a guy who can catch out of the backfield and picks up the blitzes. You got to get a guy who's good at the end of the game and short yardage and goal line guy. And you just got to get a guy who you're going to get the ball to at least between 15 to 20 times throughout the game that does both of those things that I just said. Well, I think Mal and Ev and Prime, y'all hit it on the head, man. It's like you, why get one guy to destroy? Like, it's no longer the days of Earl Campbell where you turn around and give it to him like 30 plus times. Right. And it's like nowadays, when you see teams
passing
that
it's
a passing league, but who was the top? What happened in the Super Bowl? Who got to the Super Bowl? The top rushing team. And in the Super Bowl, Kansas City, you have to run the ball to pass. Yes. Everybody thinks it's a passing league. But when it gets cold outside and you have a lead, if you have a lead, you do not want to go out and Houston oil this thing up. You do not want to go out and run and shoot and throw the ball, and the incomplete pass stops the clock. It puts your defense back on the field. Not only that, it's that your defense gets tired after a little bit. And it's like,
it just keeps them honest too, right? Yeah. Like the balance that it adds. Yeah. They can't predict the plays you're gonna run.
When the next time y'all talking to an offensive lineman that played on a quality team, most of the time they're going to tell you they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball first so they can establish. They want to slow that pass rush down. They want to establish that we can do anything we want to when we get ready. And when you have a defensive lineman that don't know what the hell you're going to do, you're in his head, it's a done dizzle. It's just the way it is.
We always question the fact on how Howie is treating the whole running back position. But at the end of the day, like, as the season goes on, we come to the conclusion on realizing it all makes sense on what he's actually doing. Having the three-headed monster that we got, it utilizes it, like, it spreads it out, not focusing on just that one guy. Now, Saquon, you know, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, those big backs. Like, now, as time goes on, I realize – I'm glad we didn't really focus on that one, because then we wouldn't really have room for all the other players that we got right now.
Exactly.
Because we were focusing on just that one running back.
But Prime, answer me this. When you're getting a guy that's a generational guy out of college, and it's like, when I say generational guy, a guy that can do everything. Reggie Bush. I was on the team with Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, he wasn't a guy that could do everything.
Alvin Kamara?
Alvin Kamara, but he got drafted late. But it's like, he got paid after. But when you look at and he's still doing what he's supposed to do. The thing is, like, when you look at like Ezekiel Elliott, when he came out, he was a generational type back, and he could do everything. And I was like, I say we should have traded back, or we should have drafted him, and then drafted Dak Prescott, and we'd have had 10 years of quality coaching, and it with different coaches. And the funniest thing is, they just ran him in the ground. And it's like, but if you see a back like that, a generational type back, would you draft him up high?
I mean, I was all in on Bijan this draft season, so I can't sit here and act like I wouldn't.
See, think about Saquon being drafted number two, that puts you in a whole nother – it's just I'm talking about positional value in the sense that I can get other running backs in the mid-rounds to give me reps and give me some production versus, like, the way the Giants team was set up, you know, their line wasn't equipped to handle. I was telling my friends that are Giants fans, like, by the time Saquon is ready, he's going to get beat up with the line that you had.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got injured, but, like, if you think
now that you say that, now that Gil says that, if you're drafting that high, that means you really don't have an offensive line.
Unless you got a Harry Roseman type GM and you trade it.
So, Evan, I mean, this is going way before you talk, because you are the youngin' of the crew. But, you know, I think about all the running backs that we had. Like, back in my prime, when I started watching the Philadelphia Eagles, we had Vaughn Hebron. Ricky Waters. Herschel Walker.
That's what I'm saying.
But, like, Charlie Gardner. You know what I mean?
Deuce Staley.
Deuce Staley.
Carell.
James Joseph. Like, I don't even know if y'all remember James Joseph. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like, it's just always been.
Don't forget the mighty Westbrook.
Brian, that's Evan's time. You know, I mean, he came in at the right time for that one. But yeah, I'm just talking about prior to that. It was just always, you know, they didn't really factor in too much on the running back position. Now, names like Herschel Walker and Ricky Waters, when they came, they already went through their prime. Right. Like, these were guys that we were picking up with, like, what, 2 or maybe 3 years pushing, still left on their body. But other than that was it.
To one of the seasons that we first started going to the playoffs with Andy Gattier, we put Stutter Stanley Pritchard at running back. We had Darnell Autry. We went and got Chris Warren. Yeah, Brian Mitchell. We went to the Super Bowl. One of our running backs was Dorsey Levis.
And again, he only had like about a year or two left in his body.
Because he was like they had random
crazy.
Yeah, Green Bay
So it's like the running back the thing with the running backs they get ran into the ground, and I don't like the fact that they kind of devaluing them. But in the same right, I see what everybody's talking about, because once they run you to the ground, there's no need. It's like, I'm not going to pay you all that astronomical money, and I still got other positions to fulfill. I understand their gripe and their gripe.
And nobody said it better than Ricky. They only pay him to run the ball, not to catch it.
Yeah, exactly. For what? I was at that game when he short-armed, when Robert Griffin was a safety for Minnesota, and Tyrone Detmer threw it across the middle, and Ricky was about to catch it. He looked up, he was like, not on duty. And they asked him in the locker room. He's like, I could be alligator on their pass. He's like, I'm not finna end my career on a pass like that. For what?
Now, if we go around the room, can we ask where we stand, on the running back market? We'll go with Mal. You pay top dollar, or you bargain basement?
Basement, bro.
Okay. Ev, where you at?
Same thing, man. I don't care about feelings, bro. I just care about winning. And I just have to say that one post that I think kind of spurred this entire conversation, at least for the running backs as well, where there was comparing the average amount of the average salary for the running backs versus the average salary of the kickers. Like, I think that's kind of a skewed stat when you really look at it. There's way more running backs in the league than there are kickers. But
the kicker plays one snap. The kicker does not get hit.
Usually ends up being the highest scorer on the team each year.
If you hit the kicker, that's what I'm saying. The yeah, but part is your job is not that difficult.
It's not difficult. You score points, bro. If you don't have a kicker that's reliable, you've seen what happens. A la the Bears when they played us in the playoffs.
Do you think the kicker should make the same as a quarterback? Okay.
Apples to oranges. Okay.
No, but the running is like the running back. The running back shouldn't even be close to the kicker. It's like the kicker plays one snap. If you hit the kicker, there's a penalty. It's bullshit. Is what it is. It's like, so. I understand, but that's bullshit.
I mean, if you got a nice kicker, then
then you pay him.
It's legit.
You pay him a nice amount, but it should be close to somebody who takes a lot of snaps, like running backs. But it's like I would draft my running back. And just like try to take care of him, and if he's good,
I think the reason that ends up happening is because you're just simply going to get more longevity out of a kicker for exactly the reason you're saying. These guys end up making more money just because they can have. Look at Adam Vinatieri, dude retired when he was like 107 years old, and that's because he doesn't get hit. And he stayed reliable. He was one of the greatest kickers in the history of the game.
That's why you pay the people who get hit.
Isn't the way that prices work?
He got mad because I got some money and he didn't get his contract.
Let me give you this last tweet. We'll move on here from microphone. He says, "This is a chart of the following leading rushers from the last 14 Super Bowls and their base salary 2022." The Super Bowl, we have Isaiah Pacheco, $870,000. Rams, Cam Akers in 2021, $890,000. The Buccaneers in 2020, they had Leonard Fournette making $2 million. The Chiefs had Damian Williams in 2019, $1.5 million. Patriots had Sony Michel, $480,000. The Eagles in 2017 had LeGarrette Blount, $900,000. Patriots had LeGarrette Blount in 2016, $760,000. Broncos had C.J. Anderson, $585,000. Patriots in 2014, again with Blount, $730,000.
Hold on, I just want to say, you notice a trend here? These are physical running backs, right?
Kickers. Yeah.
They definitely did. Clutch kickers, for sure. Hollis was saying before, right, that like you have to be able to run the ball late in the season. You have to be, and so you name it, like LeGarrette Blount, C.J. Anderson,
We got five more. We got five more.
16, bro. We went back 20 years, bro.
Yeah. I know, but
we got Seahawks. Everybody. Percy Harvin, 2.5.
Can I finish?
We got Ravens, 2012, Ray Rice, 2 million. Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw, 1.5 in 2011. Packers, James Starks, 320,000. And the last one, 2009, Pierre Thomas, 460,000.
Rookie, some physical backs, man.
But when you look at that, the LeGarrette Blount one, LeGarrette Blount had got paid by the Steelers, and he didn't get no carries in the game, and he left. you remember that, don't you, Prime? That's why he was getting paid so little for the Patriots. Now, Pierre Thomas was a rookie when I was with the Saints.
He was nice too, and he was
an undrafted free agent. That was my guy.
Yeah, he could catch everything, man.
And they ran him into the ground, and he got.
He got
one nice payday. See, with running back, I think you could only expect. It's not like the old days where they paying him out the ass because they scared of what might happen.
Miles Sanders might have been like the most fortunate one, right? That he was in a town committee sort of situation until his contract year went crazy, his contract year, and probably got overcompensated for what he actually provides to your offense. And so I think that's a rookie's, or that would be my goal. Like, listen, split even Derrick Henry his first year didn't carry he wasn't the primary dude. And so you hoping to come into at least some sort of timeshare for the first year or two. Especially in your contract year, go crazy and then get $6 million, and that's it.
I think the biggest discrepancy is what are you going to pay, or what a running back deserves to be paid versus
I think they should pay them a lot of money.
I mean, the way the argument is kind of being set up right now is you're paying them for their past experiences, not what you're paying them in the future contract, and you're expecting to get out of them. Because the running back lifespan isn't going to last in the NFL. By the time they're done that rookie contract, they're pretty much halfway done their career. So my point is that when you sign a contract with someone, you're paying them for what you expect them to produce in the future. You're not just rewarding them for what they did in the past. Am I right or wrong?
You're right, but I propose we move on.
Okay.
Well, they did come up with the idea. Maybe they shorten it. Running back contracts to make sure they hit that second deal, but that's a slippery slope. Moving right along to a topic that's you might be a gamer, you might not be, but you might see the consensus of where they have some of our Eagle players, and it's always a spicy topic. I've always heard about the Cowboy fan that actually works with EA, who always messes up the ratings. If you look at the ratings, you might think that. So we're going to take a quick look at some of the Madden ratings, and then you can talk amongst yourselves and get mad.
I used to hate my ratings in this shit, too.
Mad.
I used to get Mal, I used to get pissed.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because they put somebody who is slaw. And have them being just good.
The fact that we ain't got nobody over 95 on our squad.
Thank you, Prime.
They did Jalen.
Thank you, Prime. They've been doing Jalen Brown everywhere. They've been doing AJ.
I want to see what Jalen Brown's Jalen Hurts's arm strength is, because that's really where they're doing dirty.
All right, so right now we have Jalen Hurts. This is where this would be the first topic of conversation.
Right.
They had Patrick.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your joint is muted, bro.
You lost Mike, bro.
Oh, God. Wait, see this.
And it looked really interesting, too.
And
Gail, this is why we don't allow
still
you.
On mute.
I know, he's still on mute. This is why we don't allow Gail to be in charge anymore.
Watch what you say.
Oh, me? Oh, really?
You're throwing the phantom real quick.
Really? hold on. Really, Prime and Evan? I was on here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. During that time, this is what happened to Hollis.
Yeah. Oh, just
now, They didn't tell you the last time when that happened to you that they were so happy that they started running the show like they wanted to. No, it's not. Evan Prime did that.
So the top QBs over here, we got Patrick Mahomes at 1, Joe Burrow at 2, Josh Allen at 3, Lamar Jackson at 4, Justin Herbert at 5, Dak Prescott at 6, Jalen Hurts at 7,
Dak Prescott at 6,
Aaron Rodgers at 8, Kirk Cousins at 9, and Tua at 10. Go ahead.
Tua can stay healthy.
Let it rip.
I think that for me, Hurts over Prescott and Herbert, but you know, it's close. They all like a point separated.
You know what's the difference, Mal? Is he went to the Super Bowl and they didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he definitely should be top five.
Yeah, but the top two should be Mahomes and Jalen Hurts because they led their team to the Super Bowl. Did the other quarterbacks not know that they were in the fucking playoffs?
You know that they still struggling to even classify Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. People think
Who gives a fuck what they struggling doing?
Hey, what are you talking about? A bunch of white dudes making cold, bro. What you think they're going to do? They're going to struggle to think that he's really a quarterback. So here he is at number seven.
And they're going to skew things in their favor. When you don't watch film, this is what you get.
I agree.
This is what you get. It's like because the guys that say Kirk Cousins sucks, he stares down his receivers, and it's like Dak Prescott stares down his receivers as well. That's why he had 10 picks and a couple of choice ones in the fucking playoffs. So don't act like cut the bullshit.
So around the room, can we get a number? Which got a number on Jalen right here?
What I think it should be.
Yep.
I think he should be up there above Lamar, honestly. I think he's like a 92, 93.
I think he should be number two.
Two? Prime?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to say number two as well.
What you got, Mal?
Yeah, I got 92, 93. I mean, yeah, put him over Josh Allen. I ain't got nothing wrong with that.
I'm right there.
Josh Allen's going to pick in a playoff. My bad. You know, anyway. Okay, it's okay.
I'm right there. The one that got a little spicy, it's top 10 wide receivers. Jefferson at 1, Tyreek Hill number 2, Devontae Adams at 3, Cooper Kupp at 4, Stephon Diggs 5, Jamar Chase 6, Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry 7, Amari Cooper 8, AJ Brown at 9 with a 91, and CeeDee Lamb at number 10.
You know what the difference is? Before anybody talks about this, the difference in all the receivers that was before AJ Brown was none of them fuck sticks were in the Super Bowl. None of them.
Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league.
Did they make it to the Super Bowl?
No, because he played with your boy Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying
it doesn't take one player to get to the Super Bowl. It takes a team.
What was AJ Brown's? One day did AJ Brown? What did a part of us get to the Super Bowl?
Was AJ Brown playing defense and racking up 70 sacks throughout the entire year?
No, that was our defense minus Jonathan Gannon. Minus Jonathan Gannon.
You know what? Nobody in safety, bro. That's over with.
You got a couple of guys in safety.
They're not showing none of our safety.
Yeah, we got nobody on safety, my guy.
I know. I knew that they was gonna do that because
damn, we lost the only defensive tackle too.
And this is the one thing that pisses me off all the time about this is because they often shun the people who win and make the Super Bowl, and it's so fucked up because if the guys that they're putting in this light were so good, they knew the playoffs were coming. It's like, but they just didn't show up. Everybody likes to pull numbers out of their ass.
Your argument is kind of just saying that like it should just be Chiefs and Eagles players
in the 90s.
Everybody should just be in the 90s.
That ain't never happening, bro.
It's at the top. No, it's not going to happen because we're the birds and they don't like us. So when they dub the top offensive line, who's the top offensive line they got? They have us as the top offensive line. Mm-hmm. And for what we did in the draft to get a couple of guys on the defensive line, we're gonna be almost where we was last year. Watch and see what I tell you.
Are we looking at the top edge rushers? They have Aaron Donald at 1, Bosa 2, Myles Garrett 3, Parsons at 4, Crosby at 5, Von Miller at 6, Watt at 7, Cameron Hayward at 8, Joey Bosa at 9.
Bosa.
Marcus Lawrence at number 10. And then we had to wait till all the way into the 90. Hassan Reddick with the Eagles. What is how far should Reddick be moved up?
What? I mean, like, just not too long ago, they already announced the top 10 edge rushers. Hassan was on there. This list is ridiculous, man. The fact that you got that piece of shit, DeMarcus Lawrence, on number 10.
Like, he don't even have a takeover or nothing. Like, you know what I mean? He don't even got the X Factor shit.
That's Dallas Cowboy that works for EA putting that shit in there, man. That's why I don't pay attention to none of this shit. Just give me the sticks and I'm going to show you Hassan Reddick is way better than DeMarcus Lawrence.
Are you nice like that?
I'm talking to you, Madden? Bro. I'm talking to you, bro. I hope you watch it.
Okay.
Joey Bosa is another one that I just don't even understand above Hassan Reddick there.
Thank you.
I mean, exactly. we're sitting there.
He's off.
He played five games and he had 2.5 sacks. He was on pace for what? Like,
he a good patriot, man. He a good American.
8 sacks on the year. And
yeah, his pockets is you know, strong. It's heavy. Remember?
That's crazy.
We need to stop fucking around with the video game because this shit is pissing me off.
Let's do a simulation.
Yeah, at least at the cornerback position, we got some love.
But go ahead.
You're on defensive tackles.
Yeah, I'm about to get there.
How the fuck do you lead the league in tackles? I mean, in sacks, and you don't have your leading sacks. It's not up there.
Oh, Jalen is 79. And Jordan. Okay, hold on.
Yeah,
them young boys got some ratings on them though.
So we got a Darius Slay at number 4 in the top 10 list. Okay. He got a 93. Jalen Ramsey is a 97 overall.
Mm-hmm.
He got taken to the shed last year, but go ahead.
You want to know where? Guess where? Bradbury's at.
I'm not gonna lie, Sauce is getting shafted in this list.
23.
Sauce is
close.
Sauce Gardner will have him in top 5. He was having this business, especially for a rook.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Bradbury at 23.
With an 84 prime, got it perfectly.
Second All Pro.
No. I'm not going to take credit. I saw the list.
Okay.
But you got Stephen Gilmore.
Yeah, man.
A Cowboy, top 10.
He was on the coast, I get it.
And what I'm saying is, again, this Cowboy person that works for EA has to have a Cowboy in the top 10.
You know, is there a Cowboy every top 10?
It's what it looks like. Stephen Gilmore, don't get me wrong. No disrespect. He's nice. He's very – I respect that man. But he's not top 10.
Can we move on to something else? Because I'm tired of living in love.
Hey, we got some positives. We got some positives.
In the bathroom.
It's nothing positive. It's nothing positive.
Take urinate. Go ahead. Take a break.
I'm not ready. You don't tell me what to do, sucker.
So we got Lane Johnson, the highest ranked Eagle.
Who?
Lane
Page.
What is he, and he probably disrespect him. What do you have him at?
95.
I'm talking about what rank? What rank?
Oh, highest rank. Third offensive
lineman.
Yeah.
Who's in front of him?
Zach Martin.
And granted, this
Cowboy.
I told you.
The conspiracy.
Oh my god.
Yo, Gail, you stumbled on a whole conspiracy, yo. You unearthing something right here, bro.
Look, every category so far.
Is Gail frozen?
I think so. He's got a bum ass Cowboy.
I mean, when was the last time Lane let up a sack?
I don't know.
It's been years, right?
Decades.
The fact that Lane hasn't let up a sack, that tells me that he's the best tackle in the league. Yeah. I know I'm biased because I'm sitting here wearing an Eagles hat. But I'm sitting here looking at it as simple as it is. He hasn't let up a sack.
Yo, Ev, just in case if you didn't notice, we're running the show. Let's go.
See, you know what I'm talking about?
The takeover.
But the thing about I don't like going over that man thing, and I didn't know that there was a Cowboy in there. But now it makes sense.
Now it makes sense.
It's like you have a team that's been screwed the pooch a bunch of times, and they can't
every time.
And it's like
the past 20 years.
How are you getting their guys up in the top 2, and they've been getting ousted in the first round? They literally gave the game to the 49ers. It's like he threw like two
months.
Brutal. It was brutal. If you watch him. I'm gonna show you how I was laughing because one day I sat down and I showed somebody how I watch film and the progression I go through, and that because the other part too is like if you ever get a chance to watch film with Seth Joyner, that go watch his progressions because it's like when you see somebody, it's like somebody's like, how'd you figure that out that quick? Because it's like when you see, it's like, why is he looking? Like, oh God, really? It's like when you see him staring somebody down, it's just like watch. It's like film study. You watch people and you see that, how they stare people down. Because the Dak stare people down. Kirk Cousins, he's like when you fluster Kirk Cousins, he starts staring Justin Jefferson down. But then it's just like I don't know.
I'm looking at some of the comments here. I'm wondering if Jerry Jones really does have some pull on this EA.
He probably do.
Look at the evidence. It's all coming together, all right? The proof is in the pudding, bro. So you know, it's putting looking like a Cowboys putting.
I really can't believe they got Dak Prescott over my boy.
The other rankings when they like the ones that they're doing on TV, they still got Jim. This is my thing. When you lead your team, see the quarterback touches the ball every damn time. Mm-hmm. When you lead your team to the Super Bowl. And you got quality numbers, the two guys that lead, those are the top two people. I don't care what everybody.
How Pat's not a 99? That's crazy. Yeah.
And it's like everybody talking about the other quarters. Oh, they're better than him. No, did they not know that they were in playoff games? Did they not know the games were coming up? Okay, then. So they didn't step up to the moment, to the point. It's like everybody has weapons. So don't pull that shit. It's like that. So when you don't make the Super Bowl, the top two teams are the Eagles and the Chiefs. Those are the top two teams.
I really think the argument is even simpler than that. You look at it like this, like Jalen Hurts, like you said, all the things that he did, he was an All-Pro this year. Mm-hmm. And then Dak Prescott, what'd he do? He played 11 games and he led the league in interceptions, yet they have the same overall rating? That doesn't compute.
No sense.
Somebody just said, fuck you, Cowboys.
Also, can somebody – I to be honest with you, it's been a while since I've invested in a Madden game because I really think it's a trash video game at this point. Can someone tell me what the difference is between the star and the X Factor?
Oh, the X Factor is just you could do more. So, like, the star is basically –
that's why I don't play no more.
You get a little bit of an advantage, and then the X, you get, like, a maximum advantage. Like, if you chain together a couple sacks, now – fucking Micah Parsons is basically unblockable.
Like, oh, yeah, it's like that back in the day version of he's on fire.
If you play NBA 2K, your takeover, like it's all the same sort of thing.
Now one of the old Mads in the 90s, I used to play with the Atlanta Falcons when they had Deion Sanders. Hold on. And you, every onside kick you could get with Deion Sanders. Everybody used to get pissed.
That's part of the game. Yeah. Knock the helmet off. What was it? Madden 93 when they'll knock your helmet off.
The ambulance will
pull onto the field.
And come the ambulance will even run over the players and stuff. Yeah, I used to love it. You get those late hits in. Me and my pops used to play all the time. He so rocked the Cowboys. Fun, so. At that time, I was rocking the Redskins because the Redskins were pretty hot on that game with Biner.
Hey,
hold on a second. What'd you just say? You said you were rocking the Redskins?
I said it. Come on, bro. If you a gamer, you know what I mean? You play with whoever.
Not the Redskins, though.
But listen, at the end of the day, they had the squad on that game, bro. Uh-huh.
Not the Falcons?
Vic, if you hit him that way,
he used to fumble every time, bro. If you got him, he was wrong.
When he was gone, he was gone.
No, he was gone. He had the 100 speed, son.
I played with the Falcons when they had Chris Chandler and Mathis at receiver, and they had prime time still. And every onside kick, with prime time, you get it. My boy was like, it's a glitch of the game. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yo, Hollis, what was your Madden rating?
I don't recall. It wasn't that great. And they had me strong as hell and being as strong as hell and smart. That was it. My speed was low. Yeah, because I'm a student of the game. I know where to be, when to be.
What's the lowest rating they give them batters? Let me see.
Ooh, probably like 50 or 60 something. I was a starter, so I was at least 70 something.
Lovato got a 35.
Ooh.
Damn, as an overall position.
Matter of fact, while y'all with you call it, I'm gonna go ahead and type this in. Hollis Thomas.
I mean, I just gotta like
I got it right here, bro.
special positions, like a long snapper.
To 80.
All you can really do is
Oh, wait, Madden 08, it says 85. I guess you drop from an 85 to an 80.
Yeah.
Okay, 85?
Because I switched teams.
That's a good rating.
85 is pretty fucking good, bro.
I was a starter, so.
85, I think, is higher than Hassan Reddick in this game this year.
Damn.
He's a 90.
I always sat you.
I know.
You was hella slow, bro.
That's why y'all lost. Now, the thing that I did learn in the latter years is, like, I thought I was going to steal some years when I went to play at Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so I went to – they had a – there was a bye week when they picked me up. And I went to the practice and stuff. I went to the meeting and stuff. And so they explained, you know, the defense and stuff. So we went outside to do the walkthrough, and I was standing next to the coach. And he's like, first defense out there. And I was still standing next to the coach. And the coach looked at me and said, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, I don't know the defense. He said, you know how to play nose guard, don't you? I said, yeah. They'll tell you the rest. Get your ass on out there. I was like, oh. So I ended up playing, like, way more because they created a big nickel. They created big nickel. I was like, motherfucker. I was like, I can't get away from shit. So I ended up playing a lot in Carolina, way more than I wanted to.
Yeah, I was gonna say how you ride, like ain't no avoiding the work, man. It's that foul,
well,
bro.
It wasn't so much avoiding the work. I didn't know the playbook. You don't understand. I literally had signed. I came and I went to meetings, and after meetings, we were out on the field. And
it's like get in there and play nose. Nose.
Well, I do know nose guard, and that's why
zero.
Well, yeah, there's not a zero. It's either shade left or shade right. I know what a lot of people don't realize is the NFL is a copycat league. Everybody knows what under and over is. Some people call over hawk, and it's like the hawk is the three technique is to the tight end side, and under the nose guard is to the tight end side. So it's like under and over, people run those type of defenses, or even where the two tackles on the inside are lined up, head up over the guards, and the defensive ends are lined up out in a possibly a five and a six. So it's and everybody copycats, because what they copycat is they watch the film of your previous games and stuff and see what's successful on you, mm-hmm. and then they look through their playbook and see what is similar to that, and that's how they do it.
Replicate it, right?
Yeah, and replicate mm-hmm. it. So, but you know,
hey. One thing you can't replicate is a quality tackle. There's an NFC exec out here spitting some venom in the latest ESPN article.
But tell him what. But tell him what it was, Gil. Tell him the part that I want to hear.
He was trying to tell
you. I'm trying to tell you, my guy.
What part I want to hear then?
Middle of a sentence.
Thank you.
I don't know. You tell me, man.
Well, no, the part that you told me that okay, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but the part that you told me,
man.
Oh, really? Yeah, really? So I'm interrupting, so now you're gonna do it. Thanks, Dick Cheney. But the part that he said that you got when you listen to what he's saying, it's anonymous. So yeah, a bitch said it. Go ahead.
All that.
Well, go ahead, Gail. I was going to let Gail finish first.
Now you can finish, Gail.
So he said, but one NFC exec believes Johnson is overhyped and plays in a run pass option offense that helps him limit sacks.
Oh.
Can you believe that? Could it be this guy? Could it be this guy?
Probably. Because this is the other question I have for you guys, because I'm tired of the 49ers. I'm really tired. The last time I checked, your offensive line is supposed to check your quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guys, when they continue to say if Josh Purdy hadn't got hurt, my thought is had your line protected, he wouldn't have got hurt. So if you thought you were going to beat us anyway, your line wasn't protected. Your line wasn't good enough. So
I mean, that's the whole piece to that argument that doesn't make sense, is that it's not like he didn't show up with his arm mangled, right? That like his arm got mangled in the process. So that's football. If Hurts had gotten hurt, nobody would be sitting here saying, yo, first I made it. Like, yeah, but you're living in fantasy land. If this was fish, right? Like, we'd be intoxicated, my G. So,
well, go ahead. Yeah,
who cares, man?
I was going to say, let's go back to what Hollis just said about, like, you know, they go, these teams, they go and they see what works against you. And mm-hmm. you line up a guy like Hassan Reddick, and their game plan thought that a tight end would be able to stop him after all that film study. Whose fault is that? That's not the Eagles' fault. That's the Eagles taking advantage of a mismatch.
If you ask Will for Montgomery, it's Kyle Shanahan's fault. I want you to guys – next time Wilbert is here on a home game, I want you to get – we're going to go up to him. Oh, what happened to Gail? We're going to go up to him and ask him about Kyle Shanahan. He hates Kyle Shanahan because he says Kyle Shanahan gets every quarterback that plays for him hurt because he runs. Kyle Shanahan thinks that defenses are dumb because he runs the same plays and then he tries to run a play action boot off of them. Mm-hmm. But once that's on film, like I said, this is a copycat league. Once that's on film, we are going to lambaste your quarterback. So he's got and when he said it, I was like, well, wait a minute. He got RG3 hurt. He got Garoppolo. And what's the other kid, number five?
Trey Lance, guys.
Trey Lance. And then he got Garoppolo hurt again. And that's why they got to Purdy. And it's like, the funny thing is, when you ask Wilbur Montgomery about it, he gets pissed all the time about it. And it's funny to me because I never thought of it like that. So...
yeah, and I'm to be honest with you, I'm still kind of fed up with the whole the bitching and moaning and whining that the 49ers did that got them that rule change. About, you know, we got to be able to dress three quarterbacks. Man, that rule has existed. You are allowed to dress three quarterbacks. It's your own damn fault.
Yes, that
you have a like Hollis is saying, you had a head coach that continually gets quarterbacks hurt, and you're not going to dress a third one. That's on you, my guy. The reason that it's called an emergency quarterback is for emergencies. Yes. And that's exactly what Christian McCaffrey was supposed to be that game, and they chose not to use him. I don't blame them. I don't think that Christian McCaffrey being quarterback for them would have helped at all the situation. But, I mean, that's what an emergency quarterback is. Stop getting your quarterbacks hurt.
In their eyes, it would have helped them. Remember that. In their eyes, it would have helped them.
Now, the funny part about the overhyped thing and the anonymous shit, you knew who it was. And it's John Lynch podcast. Because they've been stabbing and throwing arrows at us the entire fucking time, and the thing that that's cracking me up is when we do play them, if they do win, who gives a fuck? You're not going to the Super Bowl. You're going back home to play Week 14.
They ain't beating us, bro.
I know they're not beating us, but man, it's like, and right now they got Purdy, they got Sam Darnold and Lance. I can't get past the Sam Darnold part because people was talking about, oh, he's doing great in practice. Remember, so was Jalen Reagor.
It's true. Yeah, Mark is still here, holding out for the Kelly Green.
I'm holding out
people
for the
definitely
two Mark.
Holding out, man.
I had told you guys about this, but when I first came to the Eagles, I thought we were still in Kelly Green. Do you know how pissed I was when I got to that mini camp and they had that midnight green and stuff? I was able to keep some shorts and some t-shirts because they was in the transition. But yeah. I was like, man, the midnight green was cool because it was a new thing. But it's nothing like that Kelly Green, dude. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like it. And I think as fans, we don't miss it until it's gone.
I called the pro shop yesterday. I asked them because people were asking me.
Addicted.
I get the call all the time when one of these dropping. They said if he was to bet on it, he would say the first week of August. I heard it was the 18th, which is today. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. So if you want to look at the first week of August, he said hopefully on a Saturday it drops.
Mm-hmm. If it drops, I'm going to get mine in Kelly Green.
Mm-hmm. What size you wear?
A big dog.
Big dog.
Four XLT.
You can't get that at the pro shop, can you?
Stupid X.
Just get a bed sheet.
I feel like you guys are jealous because you have chicken chests.
What? How dare you? How dare you? Just because I don't wear a 4X don't mean I got a chicken chest.
No, no, 4XLT.
When's the last time you had a neck?
Hey, look, you know, don't worry about that. I do enough shrugs. That means I can't get choked out. Thug Life, West Side, who banging affiliates? I do the choking, sucker. Pause.
Going into camp next week. Mm-hmm. I just want to get a couple of your biggest strengths and weaknesses. Give me a player. I want you to name names. Offensive player, biggest strength and weakness on this offense. We'll go offense first. Start with you, Prime. Who is your biggest strengths on offense
going into the season?
Yep.
Well, seeing him personally at the softball game, I think Devontae put on some weight. I think he really is going to come in stronger than what he was last year. You know what he's capable of doing, and I think he's really going to show off this year. Devontae's that dude, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. A.J. Brown already got that bulkiness to him, but who knows? I mean, A.J. could have been in his ear and let him know, like, look, man, you need to catch up, and that's what Devontae's doing. He's catching up. So, I mean, I like the physique that he came into the softball game with. Now he's about to go into, you know, training camp with it. I think he gonna really go ahead and shine with that, man. I think it's gonna really benefit
the physique. Okay.
What about you, Mal?
You heard what he said.
I'm going standby.
Okay.
I'm going DeAndre Swift. I think Swift adds an element to this offense that is pretty spectacular. You know, if he can stay healthy, man, give us 12 games, I think that we're looking at a pretty transformational player that can run and catch and block enough to stay on the field and not be a liability.
What about you, Hollis?
I'm looking at Tyler Steen because I want him to. Because I don't want to. A lot of people think that Cam Jenkins is going to be that guard. I still don't feel like he's big enough to play that guard for what we do. I know he's smart and he's been there for a second. I feel like Tyler Steen. I was happy when they selected the kid because he's just a beast, and I think they're gonna kick him down the guard, and he's gonna be the guy. And I know it's gonna be a battle at that spot, but I'm gonna be looking at him, and also, excuse me, I'm gonna be looking at Jalen Carter too. Defensively, I'm looking at Jalen. Be looking at Jalen Carter to see how fast he catches up with the NFL game because I was just recently. And then this came up. I was recently in Wisconsin, and some kids asked me about what's the difference between the jump from college to pro, and it's the speed of the game. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know. Wait a minute. Blankenship is on the. Is he? What is Blankenship got? Yo, a big neck?
Blankenship is rocked up, bro.
Oh, dear God.
Balls, like he's got the physique.
Yeah, the two parts that I'm be looking at, the two weakness part I'm be looking at is it's
we ain't even get to that category yet, bro.
It was at the bottom of the screen.
We ain't get there yet.
Hold on.
The man laid it out that we start an offense in the biggest strengths. Pay attention.
Okay, first of all, I don't like the font that's coming at me. First of all, I thought, okay, Mal. I'm done now.
Yeah, we're not there yet, bro. I got you.
Hey,
you
know, AF, we'll let you know.
My turn? I waited patiently for my turn.
Listen to you, man. I waited patiently to still answer my question about the last question.
now that I have the floor. Offensively, I mean, Prime, I'm going to be real with you. You stole mine, man. It's hard not for me not to talk about Devontae, bro. I truly think he is a guy that is on a steady upward trajectory. I think he only continues to get better. I really think that Devontae Smith, this is like, you know, I think he can give A.J. Brown a run for his money this year, man. If I'm being completely real with you, I think we got two legitimate wide receiver 1As, man. And I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year you're looking at the receiving yards and you see Devontae at the top of the list for the Eagles this year.
I'm going to show A.J. Brown some love. I just think his gameplay and his strength. He Debo's a lot of these. He's the real Debo out there. I think just that's a 1-2 punch regardless. But I think he's just, you know, obviously I can say Jalen, but I think A.J. Brown, his rating needs to be 95. Biggest weaknesses or strengths. We can go Hollis, defense. He said Jalen Carter already, but what about your weakness?
The weakness is I'll be looking at the safety position. We got rid of both the starting safeties. Even though Blankenship played a little bit last year, he wasn't the full-time starter. And so it's going to be interesting to see who emerges at that position, because we all of us love Keyvan Wallace. I'm only bullshitting. But it'll be interesting to see, because they put a lot of pieces together with the kid Evans, and Blankenship will be fighting, and then also Sidney Brown. And what are they going to put Maddox back there? And offensively, it's just the third wide receiver spot, because we got two of the best. We got one of the best 1-2 punches offensively known to man, but we need somebody to take up the slack at third wide receiver that's not going to have as many drops, that's going to put people on notice that when you double team our guys, when you trick fuck our guys outside on the coverage and stuff, that we got a guy to take the top off of things. I say, sorry, Mal, when I say trick fuck, it's like, okay, my bad. Okay. So that's a term that we use in the defensive room. When they do something, they try to show you a bunch of bells and whistles and mirrors and stuff, but all they're trying to do is get back to what they do best.
They did already. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a trick fucking you. Yeah. Trick fuck. Pause. But I still want to see who emerges as that third receiver, because, and I know we had this discussion after AJ Brown and Devontae Swain.
We all asked that question.
Yeah, and I think that's probably going to be the consensus of what everybody's worried about, that third guy. Because what if one of our starters get hurt? Are we gonna be happy with the hurdler going out there? Who actually the fuck he didn't even. Now, if you want to play, either you want to play football or you want to run fucking track, pick which one you want to do. He wasn't even here doing everything with everybody. He's off practicing track. Are you fucking kidding me? You wasted a roster spot for that? Stop it.
I think he's looking out for himself at this point, man. I think that he realizes that a track career is much more realistic than a football career.
But I understand. But you made a roster, and if you're trying to be good, because you got the speed, all you have to do now is get on the same page and catch the ball.
All he got to do is get hit again. He don't get hit running track. He got to get hit now. That getting hit part changed a lot of stuff for real fast people, man.
Yeah.
Plenty of track stars that ain't turning to nothing football players.
He get hit, he gonna stay still.
The funny thing you say that, Mal, because it's this meme that's out where it's two kids laying back to back and say, this is the one drill that decides if you want to be a football player or a basketball player.
Oh, basketball. That's a fact, though.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma
drill, yeah.
But going back to the topic at hand here, if I'm looking at the Eagles' biggest strengths and weaknesses on defense, I think it's easily strength-wise, it's our defensive line. I mean, the way that we were able to completely retool and go get Jalen Carter, go get Nolan Smith, that's going to be massive. And I think we're really not going to take that big of a step back. If not, stay on par, or get better than we were last year on the defensive line. Weakness to me, I think, is pretty glaring. It's pretty obvious, and it's linebacker. I think it's between the linebacker and safety, but I'm going to lean on linebacker. And it's not like I don't trust Nakobe. I think he's going to be great, but I'm looking at the rest of the linebacker position, like guys like Nicholas Morrow. I really don't know what we're going to get out of a guy like Nicholas Morrow. I'm hoping it's the best. I'm hoping that the supporting cast around him is able to help, but, it's kind of a gamble going into the season.
I'm gonna piggyback off you, Ev. Morrow would be my weakness. I mean, that's like a question mark. I feel good about Dean, but Morrow, you might need to bring somebody else in. I'd love to see him compete. Obviously, strength. If I'm gonna get one person to, I'm gonna go Hassan. Hassan sets the tone. So go ahead, Hollis.
Oh no, I was just saying Morrow is like one of the more. Only reason I like Morrow is because he's one of the more physical linebackers, and we were slow against the run last year until we had to bring in the two guys, Linval
Joseph.
Yeah, it's like, and I think I don't know if you guys watched Morrow's, the one that hurt Jalen Hurts. I don't think you guys knew that he's a killer. The way that he came about, the way that his position and him knowing the side, I think he's going to be one of the surprises of the season. And he continues to get better. I implore you guys, to look up how he got to where he is. He wasn't even playing football, and then he started training and stuff, and became and from a Division One, two or three school became what he was, and went and pretty much was an undrafted free agent, and became what we see now. If you go back and look at last year, he was putting motherfuckers on notice, and I was just glad to get him for as cheap as we got him, because he will add that physical play that we need versus run. How many times have you been watching a game and we like, damn, we can't get out the field. Damn, we can't get out the field. Damn, we can't get out the field. That bend but don't break shit. That's not. He's not bending. He's coming to break the other team. That's why I like the pickup, because it wasn't that expensive, and he's got something to prove.
Hmm. Now, Dev10 chimes in. He says, y'all sleeping on Milton Williams and Josh Sweat getting better year by year. Josh Sweat is one of my favorite players. I think definitely got rated lower in the Madden rankings. But in real life, I think he sets the edge, and I think he's got the juice as well, man.
He's one of the funniest cats on the team too. I didn't even know that until I was there, and he was talking bad to everybody.
They did put a Madden humor rating of 99 on there.
I was over there, and he was talking bad to everybody, and I was cracking up. So, but that's not a rainy endorsement, because I have a sadistic sense of humor.
Bob with an interesting point outside the box, talking about Gannon was our biggest weakness. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. And saying Desai is the biggest question mark for this team this year. Yes. I think it is. Like what I'm hopeful in what Desai is able to do. I like what he did with the secondary out in Seattle. I think he's good at developing, corners, but we don't know. We got to see how this defense molds together.
Yeah. Now, Ev, it was something that happened. I don't know if you guys saw when Slay and the offensive tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs was going back and forth. Slay was talking about the grass. And so the offensive tackle was like, if y'all thought that y'all was going to come in here and rush four defensive linemen and run cover five and man under and beat us, y'all were sadly mistaken. And I was like, And it's like if – I knew that's what they did. I knew that's what our defense did. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I hated was that if you're not going to do nothing, at least bring your linebacker up to the middle to mug the center. Because when it's five against four, all they run is scan protection. That means everybody's one-on-one, and the center scans and waits on somebody to start winning. When they start winning, he pushes them past the pocket. And all Patrick Mahomes is doing was stepping up and getting what he could and keeping the chains moving, which made us more tired. And the fact that Jonathan Gannon was thinking about his job in Arizona, that still sticks in my craw and pisses me off.
As it should.
Now, Dev10 says, so you're all comfortable with the running backs? I'd have to say, I mean, at the price we're paying, I think we have enough guys in the stable at this moment. Obviously, some of them are injury prone, but at the end of the day, that's a quality 1-4.
Oh yeah, when you look at our running backs, it's like and let me know if I'm wrong. It's like when we got Swift, we got the trade for Swift. I thought that was just like replacing Miles, but a little bit less hesitant Miles Sanders. It's like, but then you saw the strides that Gainwell made last year. And then we still got Boston Scott. And then you add Rashard Penny, who, like y'all said, was going to give us about seven to eight good games where he's smash muffin. I mean, you can't beat that with a bat. The hammer can't touch that. But you saw? I thought we were circle of trust. You saw?
No, I mean, I agree. I think that the running backs is not really something that I'm concerned about right now. And there was a lot of people going into this offseason. We were trying to think about what we're going to do for the running back position. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of Eagles fans that were content with having Gainwell be the top guy. And now he's sitting here at number three behind two very, very good running backs. So I think that I'm happy with what we got.
Say number two. I say number two only because he knows the offense.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know who makes the most?
Who?
Boston Scott.
And congratulations to Mr. Boston Scott for just getting engaged.
Yeah, I saw that, man. I saw his photos. I was like, is this some random Eagle fan they got married? It's awesome. And then I looked, it's like, oh, it's Boston Scott.
Just a bit outside.
But you know, it's, I mean, I'm waiting for the season to start, man. It's I think this off season is taking a little bit.
Yeah, this
the last like 3 weeks.
Pete Nathan can't wait for long. September. Am I right?
Pete says we got Earth Penny, Wind Swift, and Fire Gainwell with Boston Scott on drums.
Man,
September.
I know.
Can't come soon enough.
We're
in football purgatory.
We talking about Madden. We talking about practice and Madden ratings.
I know, in football purgatory. These are the days that we wish that we had football on Sundays. Even when the XFL and the USFL was on, nobody really watched it because it's like one or two bad plays. It's like, yeah, that's why y'all playing there. And Tucson, I thought it was Circle of Trust. But we're in football purgatory. Baseball stopped for a half second. It's back, but it's not the same as football.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you got? Like, how many more Sundays? It's 55 days until the regular season begins.
I got Joel Embiid, you know, daydreaming about being on another team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was thinking about man. I was wondering if who was going to bring that topic up.
I mean, you should have known it was Ev. Out of all of the people, likelihood was him.
Did that worry you?
Nah, I ain't mad at him, bro.
I'm not mad either, man.
I'm just, you still can.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I can't really blame him. I think he looked at the management and he's like, they're not helping me out here win a championship. And you can't blame a guy for wanting to win a championship. I mean, that's the ultimate goal as a competitor.
Don't say Saquon Barkley this up.
Yeah. that's depressing, man. I'm not trying to lose Embiid, but it is what it is. Dev Ten says, who y'all want to start at guard? Steen or Juergens?
Steen.
To be honest with you,
I'm looking forward to the competition, man. I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. And, you know, if someone can step up and give me a definitive answer and make me say, you know what, there's no doubt in my mind that it's this guy. I don't care whether it's Juergens or Steen. I'll take either one.
And I just want Steen because I feel like he's a bigger choice.
No,
and
I agree with you.
And I don't want Juergens is the heir apparent to Jason Kelce. Now somebody brought something up to me on another show saying that, you know, they may let Juergens go and let Juergens win out so he can get some experience to hear the calls. I was like, but hearing the calls from, he's gonna be playing guard. It's not gonna be the same thing. He's gonna be worried about playing guard. But then what if he gets demoralized and his confidence is gone at guard? Then you got to get it back to, you know, when he's playing center. I just don't want to mess up his pathway to being of ultimate supremacy.
I don't want to mess it up either, but the way I kind of view it is, like, whatever works, works. If Cam Juergens ends up coming in and he takes the guide from Jeff Stoutland and he builds him up into a solid right guard, then we can address the center position next year.
I'm cool with that. But right now if we put those two together, it's like two small guys next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be big dogs like myself. We'd be licking our chops at that situation. Double team.
David took down Goliath, my man. It's all about technique.
But I'm a man. I know the room is taking me down.
So is Goliath.
I'm a man. I'm there to kick your ass. I'm not. You're not gonna win. If you win, you won. But I'm not gonna let you win by no stretch of me. These dick beaters gonna be all over you.
Well, if the rumors are true about Steen, if he's giving away Brandon Brooks vibes from what they see in his habits, you know, not to say he is Brandon Brooks, but he's getting some.
If he's a fraction of Brandon Brooks, that would be tremendous. Brandon Brooks is one of the best guards we've had in the past.
Just can't stay healthy.
This millennium, man.
I hated the fact he could stay healthy for him. He did stay healthy like for most of the Super Bowl run. I hated the fact that towards the end, like, he kept getting hurt. When I saw Steen play at Alabama, that's who I thought of. Man, it's like a young version of him. And I think he has the tenacity, and so that's why I want. I wanted to win, and then in meeting the guys, it was like you want the kid to win. Nothing away from Cam, but Cam, I love Cam, but I don't want to mess up his confidence.
Mm. confidence.
Prime.
We'll see. I mean, we're getting down to the end of the show.
Wait a minute, let Prime go first to give the last word.
I gotta actually skedaddle out of here. But it was good catching up with you guys. Some good topic and everything. I'm gonna try to hurry up so Gail can go ahead and take over the mic, man. But I just want everybody to be safe. You know what I mean? We're close to crunch time, man. I know we've been waiting patiently, but it's finally here, and hopefully we'll get some some news to go ahead and talk about the next coming week. Whether if it's a jersey drop, whether if it's the pickup, you know what I mean? I hear Buddha and Kelly working together, you know what I mean? Kylie working together. So, you know what I mean? You hear some shit out there. So let's see what happens. But look, y'all boys be safe. I'll catch up with y'all later.
You going to make some Donitos?
Yeah, tacos is already waiting for me, but I got to go handle something else.
Taco Tuesday?
It's Taco Tuesday. Como siempre. Let's go.
What does that mean?
Eat shit.
I want to give a big shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Make sure you go to follow them at Sports Trips PHL for more information. Make sure you book your trip. There should be a whole bunch of trips. Y'all should jump on it while you still can. I mean, there's some hot tickets. I think KC and the LA, Eagles should KC be the Eagles. biggest ticket of the season.
I got a question. Which one are you guys going on?
Still in the works. KC is, I think, locked in, right?
Okay. Oh, cool. I think KC.
Let me know, because I got KC. I'm going to the World War War Museum. That's part of the KC trip. I didn't even know it was a World War War Museum.
Seems like such a random spot for the World War One Museum.
I know, but it's like when you look at where Kansas City is, and then you look at the Civil War and then World War One. It was like those were the desperados went that way to get away from the law.
I got you. The Wild West, if you
will. Yeah, and so the U.S. Marshals used to go into the Wild West to get the desperados, or call them fugitives now. So,
Mal, what's your last word?
Yeah, man, just it's always good to see y'all boys. Glad the season's getting closer, man. Just thanks again to my wife with Malcolm Jr. right now, so he's not screaming in the background. Appreciate that as always.
Congrats to your go Birds, man.
Appreciate you. Finished my fellowship. Now I can move on with the rest of my life.
Congratulations, man. I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Congrats, my guy. Ev Money.
So right before I jumped on here, I was in the middle of building a new grill for the tailgate.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a picture of that when it's a finished product on the timeline later. But, dude, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little bit bummed, though, because this thing is a fucking beast. This thing could play offensive guard if we needed it to in the middle of the line. It's got the size.
But the
issue is that my apartment isn't exactly doesn't make much sense for me to use it here. Okay. I don't think using propane indoors is such a good idea. I haven't heard good things. So unfortunately, this is probably just going to be a tailgate only thing until I end up moving. But I got a nice ass grill for when I move, at least.
You're moving.
No, I'm saying I'm talking in the future, bro. I've already locked down a grill for my future place. That's what I'm saying.
Now I just need a future wife, and then you.
I don't know why you had to throw that fucking caveat.
I'm just saying. I'm just and a dog and a cat.
I got some fish.
I'm speaking into existence. Married. Ev's getting married next year.
Way to go! Way to build your own personal health.
You ain't even giving him a chance to get the note of John.
Well, yeah, man. Just before we get out of here, I just want to appreciate everyone in the comments.
How to get the last word? Damn.
Didn't you go already?
No, I didn't, but okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay if you thought that the other part was my wow. Then you just put me up there like that. I'd like to thank y'all for coming out. God bless. It's good to see everybody. And we're currently in football purgatory. I suggest you watch some WNBA and baseball. and some quality tennis on as well. But the baseball team is actually doing pretty good. I'm drawing this out as long as I possibly can. But now, it was great seeing y'all. Congratulations, Mal, on your fellowship. Good to see you, Ev. Love. And if you're not, if you're looking for a place to put that grill, my brother's got a shed, and you know, so and it's good to see you guys. Check me out Thursday with Vetted and Philly Sports Strips and Philly Sports Shirts with the damn Skippy shirt.
Damn
and,
Skippy.
So you know, obviously you have your shirt. You have your shirt, Gail.
I don't think I've received it yet.
But Gail, I don't. You weren't there, so. Yeah. See,
I got it somewhere.
Let's see, but thanks a lot. See, I know what he thinks about it.
I was about to bring it up for you, but appreciate everyone in the comments. Thank you guys for sticking around. Obviously, 1 week away, man. Just hold your horses. We'll have some real football topics. I'm excited. I'm ready to get out there and watch these birds and some practices. There'll be an open practice August, was that 6th? Anyone going? Everyone going here? Mal?
If they pay me. Since I got you guys here, we had to when they start practicing, I'll let you guys know when which practices that I could go to and that I could have guests at. So
good to know.
And so this is not the open practices. This is the regular practices. Mm. Boom.
Love that.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. And we talked about that last show, and that it was like I thought I wasn't for real. I was going.
Oh no, I'm just waiting.
I always take your word as gospel.
I just wait on you.
I appreciate that, but I like to be a man of my word, and so I'm going to make sure that we can get down to that motherfucker and cause too much of a ruckus, but they have
a little bit of a ruckus.
Yeah, just because they have the Reader's Water Ice truck, they'd be there, and I'd be fucking destroying it. And I go in there with a white T-shirt on specifically, so I know.
So you wreck it?
Yeah, no. So how many different water ices I had?
Yeah,
that's you know.
Shout out to Bob. Not yet, man. End of mid August, I'll be in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's it for us, man. I think we've used all our words tonight.
Hey.
We'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.
Go Birds.